morning we're going to be looking at fear. It's the fourth Sunday in Advent, and the theme for the fourth Sunday in Advent all over the world is love. And that's what Christmas is about, love. Well, as I was pondering this kind of thought, one thought kept coming to my mind. Perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. So when you start looking in the narrative of the story, you find out that fear shows up a lot, especially when there's four angels visiting. The angels surrounding the birth of Jesus almost always began with, "Fear not, fear not, fear not." Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples in the upper room just before he died, "Fear not, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, right?" So we're talking about death. And when we come to that point of death, we always come to that issue in our lives of, I'm afraid to die, or I'm afraid that I'm not ready to die, I'm not ready to deal with it. And I think that sometimes also happens when we have spectacular things that come and surround us like an angel. Four times during the Advent story, angels play a real strong part in the narrative of the Messiah. His coming from Zacharias. The angel shows up to him inside the holy place. Then with Mary, as you know, to tell her that she's going to have a baby. With Joseph to say it's okay to keep Mary as your wife. And finally with the shepherds out in the field that the baby has been born. So each of those four major opportunities when angels came into the Christmas scene, we get the same message. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. These are four totally different stories, and we're going to look at them individually in just a second. But a baby is about to be born, and that's the striking message that you have with all four of these angel visitations. First, it was John the Baptist. That's the baby that's going to be born. And then the other three narratives have to do with Jesus. He's the baby about to be born. There's a certain amount of fear involved whenever we encounter God directly, and a fear that reveals a perfect love as we encounter the wonder of a magnificent God whose love transforms our very being. And that's what Christmas is. It's not the glitz and the glamour. It's not the Christmas trees. It's not the presents. It's not even the family gatherings. It's that portal between this world and the next has now been made complete. God becomes one of us. He is God with us in the baby Jesus, in the life of Jesus, in the death of Jesus. This morning I want you to hear the angels' voices in your heart. God has a message for you, and it's a message of love, His love. Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, for unto you is born this day a Savior. It is Messiah, the Lord. In the midst of all the bad news that you're hearing on the radio every time you turn on the news, in the midst of all the struggles and family relationships, amidst death of loved ones at this time of year especially, tragedies, God is with us. So He's going to help us get out of our messes. God has a plan to answer our greatest fear. And the greatest fear of all of us is, I'm going to die. What happens then? Where do I go from there? And you are going to die. And my goodness, you don't know when you're going to die. Tom was healthier than I am. Sat down in his chair at home and he's gone. Peggy was, 15 or 16 years younger than me. She went out in her car. She's gone. Janet struggled to the very end, but she was still younger than I am. And she's gone. You don't know when you're going to die. And you don't know when I'm going to have your funeral if I'm still around. I want to tell your family that you're okay. And I know that when I know that you know the Lord. God has a plan for that death issue. Mortality is universal. Immortality is possible, however, when you encounter Christ. You won't die. You'll just be translated. All three of those guys are enjoying the fruits of their experience in Christ Jesus right now. They're better off than any of us standing right here. I knew all three of them well enough to tell you that they knew the Lord. We can face death with courage because of the encounter that we've had with the love of Jesus. Now, this Sunday today, I want you to really talk about what love means, because that's our topic is, and the purpose of it is to talk about not just love, but to talk about perfect love. I want to do that by looking at these angels and what they had to say. So if you'll turn in your Bibles to Luke So it says, in the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zacharias of the division of Abijah. He had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. They were both righteous in the sight of God, walking blameless in all the commandments and requirements of the Lord. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren, and they were both advanced in years. Now it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and burn incense. Now Zacharias is in the holy place, standing before the veil. You get that picture. He's standing, he's in the holy place. Now he's not just anywhere. He's in the holy place. He's standing right there. There's a veil, and then there's the Holy of Holies, which is where the Ark of the Covenant is. This is the ancient Ark. This is called the mercy seat of God. It's gold laid. Nobody gets to go in there except one priest one time a year. And when that one priest goes in there one time a year, notice how he was chosen and how Matthew goes out of his way to note how he was chosen. He says he was advanced in years. And it happened that while he was performing his priestly service before God in the appointed order of his division. Now, there are divisions of priests. There's whole divisions. So there's each one division every year gets chosen, gets to choose priests to go in and do this priestly function. So in this division, according to the custom of the priestly office, he was chosen by lot. So his division was up, and they reach in and they grab a name out of the hat. And there's Zacharias. So this is not a planned event for Zacharias. This is a planned event from God. And he's elderly, and his wife is barren, and so he enters the temple to burn the incense. And while he's in there, all of a sudden, he experiences something very, very unique. Verse 4, you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. So now Gabriel's talking to this guy in that spot, in that holy moment. And he will turn many of the sons of Israel back to the Lord their God. It is he who will go as a forerunner before him in the spirit of the power of Elijah. So this guy's going to go before the Christ, before the spirit of Elijah, and to turn the hearts back to the children and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous. So many are to many ready, a people prepared for the Lord. Zacharias said to the angel, how will I know this for certain? For I am old man, and my wife is advanced in years. The angel said to him, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you shall be silent and unable to speak until the day when these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their proper time. The people were waiting for Zacharias and were wondering at his delay in the temple. But when he came out, he was unable to speak to them, and they realized that he had seen a vision in the temple, and he kept making signs to them and remained mute. When the days of his priestly service were ended, he went back home. After these days, Elizabeth, his wife, became pregnant, and she kept herself in seclusion for 5 months, saying, this is the way that the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me with favor upon me to take away my disgrace among men. So, John the Baptist is being prophesied here. He comes out. He just had an encounter with an angel. And he questioned the angel. He just questioned him. He says, how can this be? And Gabriel says, because you didn't believe, I'm striking you dumb. Some people think, does God do something like that? He does with his kids. He expects us to step up and to believe when he tells us something. That's where the fear of the Lord really comes in at this point. Do you respect God, or is he just your friend? What a friend we have in Jesus. Is there a holy respect when you come before the throne of God? Because you are coming before the throne of God. That's powerful. We need to respect him. Love him, yes. But built into that love, there needs to be a respect. So Zechariah and Elizabeth are advanced in years and have no male child to pass on the priesthood to. And so it's going to end his lineage from all the way back to Abraham. It's going to end with him. He felt incomplete. He was afraid. He was letting his God down. He was being as good as he could be as a priest. But part of his priestly function was to pass on the priesthood to the next generation. And he had no boys. So his heart was breaking. And he was crying out to God. But he's at the end of the road because now he's beyond having children with Elizabeth. Because she's way beyond childbearing age. So he was respecting God now because he's in the holy place. Standing before the Ark of the Covenant, he never ever thought in all of his millions of years of living that he could possibly ever stand in the holy place before the Ark of the Covenant. And there he stands. I wonder how I'd feel with the privilege of walking into the temple, standing before that veil, that curtain, knowing that the Ark of the Covenant was within feet of me, just a few short feet. And then while I was in there, and nobody else is supposed to be in there, they tied a rope to my foot. You know why they tied a rope to my foot? Because if I had a vision or something and I died, nobody could go in and get me because nobody was pure enough. So they would go up and grab the rope and pull me out of that holy place with that rope. And all the people were standing outside and they were praying and seeking and wondering what was going to take place. He doesn't believe it. He can't believe it. It's just too good to be true. We only get a few moments in life where things are too good to be true, don't we? Because usually when they say it's too good to be true, it's not true. And so, like Zacharias, we have our moments. Next, we come to the next story, and Gabriel is very busy because he was there with Zacharias. Next thing you know, he's now with Mary. And he says to her, this poor young virgin who was engaged to be married, he says in verse 26 of Luke chapter 1, "On the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' And she was very perplexed at this statement. He kept pondering what kind of salutation this was. The angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will be with him, give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will now have no end.' Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I'm a virgin?' The angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. And behold, even your relative Elizabeth also has conceived a son in her old age. And she, who was barren, is now in her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God.' And Mary said, 'Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, may it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Now the angel of the Lord, to Mary, announced the Immaculate Conception and the coming birth of Jesus. Now the Immaculate Conception is a Catholic term. That's what they call that conception, but the Holy Spirit overshadowed her. Immaculate, if I looked it up, it's spotless, perfect, exceptionally clean. When you say something's immaculate, it is totally, totally clean. It's immaculate. In conception, that's the seed of God is planted in Mary's womb. Mary was scared. She's a young girl. She's engaged to get married. How can I handle this responsibility, she's thinking. What is Joseph going to say? Will he believe me? Will my family believe me? Yet, here's Gabriel standing in front of her, announcing what's going to take place. And she receives it. And she says, this is my calling. This is my calling. God is calling me. Yes, let it be to me as you said, she said. She received it. God knew she would. And that takes us to the rest of the story. For nothing will be impossible with God. And Mary said, behold, they have modestly with the Lord. May it be to me as you, according to your word. And the angel departed from her. This seed is free of original sin. So it's a special seed, okay? Adam's seed passes from generation to generation to all of us, even to this day. And we carry with us the curse that came upon Adam. So we are all born into sin. Didn't matter if you hadn't sinned yet. You're born into sin. So Mary, on the other hand, she's not perfect. She was born into Adam's sin also. But the seed that's within her is not born of Adam's sin. It's born of God. Can you imagine? Born of God. So Jesus does not have original sin in him. He's the only one possible to fulfill the law to overcome sin. Mary's scared. How can I handle this responsibility? The love of God in this encounter helped her overcome her fear. She felt the love of God on her. And then she got confirmed, that got confirmed with her when she went to see her husband and he had had a dream. Now, Joseph is another story. He's another testimony. So you had to go to another book to get his story. All of the story about Mary and Elizabeth in the book of Luke. But you have to go to Matthew to get Joseph's story. Matthew chapter 1. So unlike Luke, who gives Mary's testimony, Matthew is going to concentrate on Joseph's testimony. Why did he do that? Because Matthew wanted to link Jesus with the Jewish history from Abraham to David to Jesus. He begins by tracing Joseph's family history all the way back to Abraham. Matthew is a genealogist. Then he gives Joseph's side. Start with verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child of the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her, put her away secretly. That means divorce her. But when he had considered this, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep, and did as the angel of the Lord commanded, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, Joseph learns that Mary's pregnant. Next thing you know, he's dreaming. And in the dream, he has an encounter with an angel. It's not an outward encounter with an angel like Mary and Zacharias had. It's a different one encounter. See, he's dreaming it. But in the dream, he realizes that the angel is telling him what to do. Have you ever had a prophetic dream? Something that you were really worried about in your life and you went to sleep and the next morning all the pieces fell together because you dreamed and you felt good about what you dreamed and you think that's the path to go? Well, that's what happened here, a dream. Maybe the Lord does other things to get your attention. Maybe you're driving down the road and all of a sudden you see a rainbow just at the right time, just at the right moment. You say, wow, yes, Lord. Or maybe you saw a butterfly, and it was just a beautiful butterfly. And it calmed your spirit down, and you realize, wow, God is trying to get a hold of me. Or maybe it's a close friend who came just to put his hand on your shoulder and say, I care. That's what's taking place here. And Joseph had a dream, and he felt confident to take Mary as his wife. You know, I was struggling with my marriage to be. I was engaged. And we hit a crux because I felt like God was calling me to go to another state to minister. And I was all excited about it. And I told Carol, and she said, God didn't call me to go there. And I said, but I'm the man. That's really what I felt. I thought, I'm the leader of this household. I'm the one called in the ministry. I should be able to say what's going to happen. And she said, didn't call me. So we hit a roadblock. If you know anything about my wife, she's headstrong. So I said, what are we going to do? And she said, well, I'll tell you what. I'll pray about it. If God changes my heart, you pray about it. If God changes your heart, then we'll go with what God has to say. When God calls one of us, he's got to call both of us. And so I was living probably a 3-hour drive from where she was living. So we separated for the weekend and we both began praying. Now, the reason I was called to another state is because it was a wonderful opportunity for me to start a church down in Louisiana. And I was going to be able to start a brand new church. They were going to provide a brand new building, and it's going to even give me a partial congregation of a few people from several of the other churches in the surrounding area. Incredible opportunity. Even going to pay my salary for 3 years. So I started praying about it, and she started praying about it, and didn't pray more than 2 days. I get a phone call. And I get a call from the bishop of that area. The bishop says, Steve, I've got some bad news for you. I said, what's that? He says, well, you know that hurricane that struck down here? It's really wiped out the economy and even a lot of the community where you were going to be coming. So we're going to have to withdraw the offer, maybe indefinitely or maybe forever. So go ahead and do what you feel God's wanting you to do up there, and we'll go from here. I thanked him for calling me. I sat down and said, okay, I'm never asking Carol to pray for anything again. Guard yourself when you ask Carol to pray. You may cause a hurricane. But, you know, it taught me a valuable lesson. How two people in a marriage need to stand together. And if they go different directions, it's going to pull you apart and can destroy your marriage. So your commitment has to be to each other before the Lord. And don't take the before the Lord after it. And that's what happened to Joseph and Mary here. Joseph was going to put her away privately. Didn't want to embarrass her. But then God showed him he wasn't to do that. And then we come to the angel of the Lord proclaimed to the shepherds in Luke 2, beginning with verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the field and keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, stood before them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terribly frightened, scared to death. And the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, which shall be for all the people. Here we have angel encounter number 4. And they're scared to death. Fear. Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy. Then there was a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God. Now, I would be a little bit frightened too if I were out in the field with my sheep. An angel showed up. Fear. Fear, fear, fear. All four, fear. And God stood in the gap. Psalm 2, verse 11. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. That's the key where we need to begin. Worship the Lord with fear and with trembling. So the Holy Spirit is your portal into God's direction for your life. And you need to have that portal open all the time. The Holy Spirit helps us maintain a reverential trust in God as the fear of the Lord demands our respect. That's the kind of fear we're talking about. A fear where you respect God. And there's a little bit of trembling when you come into His presence. Like you're going into the holy place before the Holy of Holies. Because in essence, that's what you're doing. And then secondly, the Holy Spirit reminds us that we are commanded to fear the Lord and keep all of His commandments. It should concern you. It really should concern you when you start stepping off the beaten path that God has for you. Because you need to be able to stand up and be the man or the woman that God's called you to be in Him. So what do you do when you do something wrong? You don't want to go before the presence of God. You don't want to go there. You want to stay away. It's kind of like when you were a little kid and you did something wrong. And you hear your mom or your dad call your name. You say, uh-oh, they found out. Uh-oh, I'm going to get spanked. And you go in, and they did find out. But what they do, they take you in their arms and say, why did you do it? That's what God does. He's a comforting parent. But that fear is a good thing. It really is. Because it shows respect. If you could just sit in His presence and not care, what kind of child of the King are you? It hurts him when you do something against his will. It hurts Jesus. It hurts our Father in heaven. It's okay to say, I'm sorry. The Holy Spirit reminds us that we are commanded to fear the Lord and keep all his commandments. The Holy Spirit helps us worship the Lord in the Spirit and complete truth when we fear the Lord. You know, when you come before God, it cleans up your relationship with him. That's why we take communion. It gives us an opportunity to say, I'm sorry, God, which washes our relationship. Number four, the Holy Spirit encourages us to fear the Lord in order to come underneath God's protective care. That simply means when you take the time to turn your heart towards God, here comes his angels to surround you and protect you, even protecting your heart from the damaged emotions that somebody can do to you. Have you ever had the protective care of God's holy hand when you've been under attack? I have. Even when the whole world doesn't understand me, I go before the Lord and say, if I messed up, Lord, I'm sorry. And he puts his arms around me. Number five, the Holy Spirit shows us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's repeated over and over in Psalms and in Proverbs. The beginning of wisdom is when we know that we can come before the Lord and allow the Holy Spirit to answer the questions of life. Number four, the Holy Spirit helps us cleanse our minds, emotions, and spirits with a healthy fear of God. A healthy fear. A healthy fear. Have you ever been afraid of your dad or your mom? Have you ever stood before him and you know that he knew that he knew that what he did, what you did was wrong, and you know there's going to be punishment involved? That's a healthy respect. And number seven, the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to conquer your fears of people and problems with a fear of God. If you fear the Lord, you don't have to fear anybody else on the planet. Why? Because you're in his hands. Satan's going to use other people to knock you down. Don't let him do it. Don't let him do it. So, we need to be able to stand up and conquer our fears so that we can stand before God, a whole people. And so that tells us what we need to do in the book of Psalms. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Wow. That's Christmas, guys. That's when you come before the Lord and you know that everything's going to be okay. Even though everybody else is trembling and falling apart, you know it's going to be okay. Now, remember I told you a few minutes ago that this room has angels in it? They're here. Okay? Probably there's an angel or two standing beside everybody in this room. Can't really see them. Can't really, the scripture doesn't talk about talking to them unless they talk to you first. And then you should talk to them. But we're just going to step out on faith that they are here right now. And take a moment to thank them for all that they've done for us. Can we pray? Father, we come before you right now. We thank you, Lord, for your ministering angels. We see in the scripture, Lord, where ministering angels come to us when we're hurting, when we're in need, when we need healing. We thank you for their ministry, Lord. We come right now, Father, saying thank you for sending your heavenly hosts to surround us. And thank you, Lord, for coming to these early first century believers, Lord, and bringing us good news of great joy, which shall be all for all the people. Thank you, Lord. Now, Lord, I just pray that you'll help us encounter that truth firsthand. And we do love you. We do fear you, Lord, with a holy fear. In Jesus' name, amen.